The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Morning, church. Greetings, grace, and peace in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus our Christ, this morning. It's good to see you. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Let us continue in our time of worship together. Let us know, let us believe, and let us hope in this day that the Lord has given us. For truly, this is the day the Lord has made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Father, as we come now, turning our hearts and minds towards you in worship, we're reminded in the Scriptures that you are Spirit. Therefore, we come to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lead us in this time, and may we praise you as we gather together this morning and be thankful, for this is truly the day that you have made. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Our reading for this morning is Mark 4, verses 26 through 34. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself, first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. The word of God for the people of God.
Happy Father's Day, by the way. If your dad is still around and you have an opportunity to be thankful to him and to share that with him, please be sure to do so today. Now, Dad isn't the only one that contributed the genetics to your makeup, but it may be someone that you find has mentored you and helped you along life's way. There are different ways, as we'll see in this passage, that those things take place. In this text, it answers a couple questions that I, as a pastor, have been asked, I don't know, literally thousands of times in my ministry. And that question has centered around, Pastor, how do I know if I'm a Christian? How do I know if I'm being fruitful? How do I know if I'm being effective as a Christian? And I hear all the time of these things, and we have them with our conferences and within our denomination, measurable data. measurable data. That drives me crazy. How many of you are teachers? Teachers in the building, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed of it. Is a test that gives a A, B, C, D an accurate reflection of what the kid has learned. But it's measurable, right? It's statistically compilable, right? Drives me crazy. But we still use it, don't we? So we're conditioned, even in our own Christian journey, to ask the question, how do I measure my success as a Christian? And then somebody may, you may look at so-and-so, and how do you compare them? Well, that's not fair either, is it? I'm not them. Different situation. And this text answers this question. And if you've been there, are there, or think you may get there, we'll get to answering that in the message today. And that is, how do I know? How do I know if I am a Christian? This is going to answer that question for you too. And am I an effective Christian? I'm going to answer that too. Notice how the text begins. And the kingdom of God, that's our first piece of this puzzle that we need to put in place. And the kingdom of God, he's going to tell us what the kingdom of God is like. He's going to tell us about the kingdom of God. It's as if anyone, could have been anyone, went out and sowed seeds on the ground. And then they just left and went back and took a nap. As a matter of fact, some time has passed. And without them even knowing it, and you know, science has answered one of the questions that 2,000 years ago they didn't have the answer to. They didn't really understand how it happened. They just knew that certain things had to happen so that it could happen. But the seed begins to grow. And it says, and the earth gives of its fruit, and it begins with the seed growing. And that seed grows into a stalk, and stalk pops out. So we can see that, right? And so it says, it's as if someone had went and sowed seed on the ground. The kingdom of God is like one sowing that seed, and that seed grows. And then he goes into the next parable, and it's about the mustard seed. The mustard seed, again, the seed. The smallest of seeds is planted, but it grows into this great bush, shrub. And it's the mustard plant. And its leaves and its limbs are a place where the birds come and make nests, where they find shelter and safety. But it's also where we get mustard. Yeah, I kind of like that part. I haven't ever built a nest in a bush, but I do like mustard. And by the way, how many of you ever have leg cramps? Really bad leg cramps? 2 tablespoons of yellow mustard. Boom, gone in 5 minutes or less. Home remedy. Doesn't taste good that way. I prefer my mustard on bologna. How many of you like it on turkey? Anyway, I'm hungry. I just thought of that, you know. My mind just drifted plumb out to the food, you know. So now I can't even think about anything but a bologna and cheese sandwich with mustard. How many of you like bologna? Come on. Fry it, and it's really good. Not good for you, but I'm just kidding. So let's look at this, how it answers our questions this morning. I want you to notice the life of the seed. And, you know, I kind of had this little dish out with the kids, and it's got all kinds of seeds on here. And there are actually flower bulbs in here and onion bulbs and different things. And you can look at them after worship. But the seed goes into the soil, and there are a lot of things that really have to happen. And Dennis was telling us in Sunday school about the cottonwood tree. Those seeds have to fall at the bank of the river at the exact right time as the water is receding to go into that soil and to not be washed away, but to be found in that soil as that soil is warming up, as the winters melts and the runoffs are going back, and it begins to find a fertile place. Alex Clark, Margot, told me about the prairie grass in Wyoming. He said, that grass is not going to do anything until the soil gets at the right temperature. But when that soil gets at the right temperature and stays at that right temperature, that prairie grass is coming. And man, you got to get your cattle on that prairie grass at the right time because there's only a season of it. And I got to watching, and I noticed, boy, did he know what he was talking about. But it takes a special conditions for that seed. What is the seed for us Christians? What is the seed that we have received if we have believed in Christ? And what is the seed that we have as Christians to sow along the way? The seed is not me and it's not you, it's the Word of God. It is the Word of God that is the seed that someone, anyone, and everyone who are in faith can share. We share it by word and by deed. We share it, it's planted, it goes in to the soul. It's the only seed, the Word of God, that can grow in a soul. But it has to have the right conditions. That seed planted will just stay there until the conditions are right. And we as Christians, sometimes we hear it. And sometimes as Christians we share it. And we may never see the fruit of it. We may never even see it begin to sprout through the ground. That doesn't mean something's not going on, because before a seed pops up, there's a lot going on. The seed's broken up. The seeds began to put down roots, gather in there. So you need to know that there's been something going on way before you see the stalk come through the ground. So we as Christians are about sowing the seeds. And the reality is, you may never see or be able to measure your seed sowing. You need to realize it's the kingdom of God, not yours. It's God that'll do the harvesting. You may get to see it and you may not. You may see the seed grow, you may not. But what we are called to do is to sow the seed through word and deed, the Word of God, and how the Word of God has touched us, and that seed is planted. But we're called to do that. So the seed is planted and it's beginning to grow in that soil, and then it grows and it nourishes itself, and then it must do something else. It must face its first hardship. It must grow up through the soil that restricts it. This young seed in this fertile soil, and the conditions have gotten right, and germination has taken place, and that seed begins to unfold, and it begins to push its way up through the soil. Have you ever looked at a new sprout that's come up through the ground and how it's cracked the earth around it? Folks, do you realize how hard it is for that new Christian, having received that word, to make that first breaking out, to be seen, to be part of, and then to be revealed that, look, this shoot has just came up, it's broken through. But it's also at that time in the life of that seed, that new plant, that it is so vulnerable to pest, to critters, cutworms. How many of you, we have ravens out here. We don't have crows out here, do we? Do we have crows? Man, we had crows back east. And when you plant your corn, the crows are just keeping an eye on it. They watch you plant it, and then they go hang out in the trees around the edge of the field. And they go and they look around and look. And as soon as that corn shoot gets about an inch to an inch and a half high, they go in. And they go up to that corn shoot and they pull it up. And when they pull it up, they get the seed too. And they gobble the seed and leave that little green thing to die. And they go row by row, plucking up the corn and eating the seed, ending the life. Folks, that's how it is for new believers. New believers, and the seed begins to grow. And if they aren't in the right environment, if there isn't a farmer to protect them, and I hate to admit this, but it's the facts, one crow dead could protect a quarter or an acre of ground. You put him on the pole after you killed him. And those other guys didn't come down there to have any snacks. They stayed away. Of course, a pie pan hooked on there helped. So we as a Christian, we begin that growth, and there's that frailty, isn't there? When we've just popped through and we've watched other Christians, and instead of watching other Christians and seeing, well, I wonder if they'll make it or not, maybe what we should do is look around and shoo off the crows and watch out for the cutworms so they have a chance. You see, as that Christian grows, as it begins, it'll toughen up. As it's exposed to those things and elements around it, it begins to toughen up, and that stalk begins to grow. Now, I want to move from this image of this to the image of a tree. Which part of the tree grows? Which part of the grapevine grows? The tip. The trunk grows in diameter, but it's the tips, the branches and limbs that grow in length. That he extend the height of the tree. Pastor, how do you know that? Well, have you ever been around and noticed where somebody's nailed the barbed wire on a tree? And the barbed wire is not 40 feet high. It just gets deeper in the tree. So that tree trunk isn't getting larger, taller. It's getting larger, but those ends are growing. That bark's getting thicker. That cambium layer is protected by that bark now, and it's harder for things to get at it. And that's the Christian as they continue to grow in the roots of the Word of God, as they continue to grow in the soil, which is the community of faith, as they continue to grow protected in that, encouraged by that, and challenged in that, they begin to learn they can endure it, but they have to learn to bend with the wind or they break. They have to learn to spread their branches. But they have to have something else, and that is, if they're going to grow past that little beginning, there has to be enough soil and nutrition. And we as Christians have to be that in the family of God and in the community of God. And that nutrition is what we share in the Word of God, in worship, in fellowship, in friendships, and Bible studies. That feeds and nourishes us in the Word of God, which is the nourishment that our souls need. Folks, if you are ignoring that, you're ignoring the nourishment you need for the journey. You're ignoring the things that you need to help you get a little tougher on the outside and to strengthen you when the storms come. You see, the fact of the matter is, if I put that seed in a small thing, I can get it to grow, and it'll grow a little bit, but then it gets root-bound, don't it? And then it runs out of nourishment, don't it? And it can't grow, it can't produce, it can't survive, and it dies. Church, you're that way and I'm that way. If we don't have a base, and that is our Christian faith community, that's large enough to nourish us. Well, how large does it have to be, Pastor? Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'll be in their presence. It means Christian fellowship, holy conversation. That means getting off the last football game or basketball game and having a little Jesus talk. Getting off the stock market or the presidential stuff or the drama about something else to talk about Jesus. It means nourishing ourselves in the study of God's Word, in prayer, and in fellowship. And that enlarges and nourishes us and we can grow. And then, how many of you have noticed, how many of you like apples, peaches, pears, plums, mangoes? I got fewer hands. Now, have you ever noticed that all of those plants and all of those trees, they grow and they produce fruit? How many of you think the tree is prettier hanging full of apples or with the blooms? The blooms are pretty, aren't they? But you ever tried to eat one? You know, some Christians look good, but there's no sustenance there. They look the look, but they're just pretty and they smell good. But there's nothing there. That tree produces those apples. Who does it produce it for? Itself or for others? You see, the fruit we're given and we're blessed to be a blessing. We're given that we may give. And our fruit is to reach out into the hearts and lives of other people and share the good news, to offer that nourishment back to them. It is the life cycle of the Christian that in seasons, and you need to understand this, God is the one that harvests. That don't mean he's going to kill you tomorrow if you produce an apple. Because what he wants is that reoccurring fruit in season. And every one of us have a season of bearing fruit, but there are times of winter in our lives and in our faith journey. There's times when we face the pruning shears of the husbandman God. And pruning, I suspect, is not so pleasant, would you? If you were a tree, I remember in South Carolina, we had a lot of peaches, North Carolina, South Carolina, down the line. they would go out there, and they had this big old saw that had like an 8-foot blade on it. And they would get on this tractor that had a lift, and that guy would go through that peach orchard. Every limb, last year's limb, pink, they're pink in color. And you can tell them they're the new growth. You see, fruit only grows on the new growth. Whether it's a grapevine or an apple tree, fruit only grows on the new growth. In order for you to grow, you got to get rid of some of the old. And they would cut all of those peach. I bet those peach trees, if they could talk, would be yelling, "Ow, ooh, that hurts!" Can you imagine? Now these limbs are just falling everywhere, you know. And then they leave those limbs under that peach tree because it keeps the weeds down and it nourishes the soil. It's out of that rubbish that we're nourished. We're learned. We've experienced. We're protected. But it's in those new limbs that growth occurs. Growth occurs. Healthy things grow. It's in your bulletin. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God helps us, keeps us healthy, and healthy things grow. We as a Christian don't need to worry about it. It's God's kingdom, not ours. It's God's harvest, not ours. We're to be seed sowers, not harvesters. We're to produce fruit according to God's will in our lives. Notice down there in the second part, and this is the second piece that you need to see, is he says, and he told them in parables only what they could understand. He explained it later to his disciples. Church, that's where we begin. Don't get overcomplicated with people. Number two, when you're sowing seed, you can't witness down. This isn't a Christian witness. But you can't witness up either. Because when you get down here below them and you get down in the ditch with them, then they don't want to hear you. What have you got to say? But if you want to witness as a Christian, you get here. You get where they are. Now, that don't mean you go down to Joe's Liquor tomorrow and get drunk and start witnessing everybody in the beer joint. But it might mean you go down to Joe's Liquor, sit on the stool, and tell them about Jesus. Warning, Will Robinson, you can get a drunk saved every time you go in there. They'll be crying in their beer, slobber flying everywhere because they're in there drinking because they got some problems anyway most of the time. And they'll love to tell you all about them. Just give them one more beer. They don't stick. You know, as soon as they sober up, they're going, "Who was I telling about that yesterday?" You know, that's the way it is. So, and that don't mean that you go down and you go out to somebody's party, keg party, and get tanked. But maybe you can go to the keg party so you can have a good time without getting drunk. You can plant seeds through witness and word. But notice that the parable then of the mustard seed is, and it becomes a shrub so that others may come in and find safety and sanctuary. You see, we grow into this community of mutual concern and help, of nourishing and challenging, protecting and giving hope. And all of us are growing at different rates and different speeds. Poplar trees grow different than oak trees, and oak trees grow different than apple trees, and all of those things are that way. And that's who we are as Christians. And every single thing that God is growing is unique. You may plant a field of white corn, and if you'll go down through that field, and it may be miles long, every stalk is different. Every ear of corn is different. Every tassel on the top is different. But no fruit tree, none of those things will bear one drop of fruit if they're not pollinated. The pollination is for us as Christians to encourage one another. It is to share the good news, to lift each other up, to encourage one another. And from that ever small seed can grow a great tree. A tree that bends with the wind, produces its fruit in season, and endures the pruning because it knows it's necessary, because its purpose is to bear fruit and to be encouraged in the journey. How do you measure it? You don't. That's above our pay grade. That's God's job. We're to be faithful in the spreading of the word. We're to share the word in a way that people can understand. Don't try to get complicated with it. Bring them into the church. Bring them into the family. Bring them into the community. We'll sit down with them in Sunday school classes. We'll sit down with them one-on-one. You can sit down on them. And we can then learn of the word together. But remember, you can't grow without a good base and fertile ground and nutrients. And that's the reason the Christian community exists, that we could be that for one another through God's grace. From small seeds, properly nourished, protected in their youth, encouraged in their old age, allowed to be exposed to the elements, grow and produce. From small seeds grow great trees. And before you say, well, Pastor, I'm not a great tree, then what is God doing in your life? If you're faithful, then you're the tree God wants you to be, sharing and planting the seed that God has given you to share. That's not your job either, to judge yourself or others. Amen. It was 1965 in a little Baptist church in an unknown town in the state of Florida when a pastor from Robbinsville, Tennessee came and gave a message. And I remember this song for the first time that night. I sang it many times down through the years. But I hope you hear not just the words, but the message of the song. You see, Christ gives us hope that no matter where we are in this life's journey, that we can have a new life, rerooted, began again. So may we go to know that from small seeds, or even a broken branch, God can grow a mighty tree. And may the grace and peace of God go with you and bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.